Well, listen, I want you to get ready to go to Genesis 39 in just a moment. We'll be there in just a second. But before we get started today, I have something very important to tell you, okay? So you need to come close, okay? So just come closer. No, come a little closer. Back up. Social distancing, just a little bit. Okay, right there. Right, that'll be good. I got something to tell you. You ready for this? You're going to love it. On May 24th, Sunday, May 24th, Robert Madu is going to be preaching from right here. You're going to love it, and he's going to be here May 24th. So be sure to be there. Tell your friends. Start a watch party. Do something. It's going to bless you. He's going to be right here on that Sunday to preach to us, and it's going to be a blessing. So you just get ready for it. Amen? So get in your Bibles to Genesis 39. Just hold your finger there. We've been in a series called Detours, when God gives you a dream, but now it just seems like it's going nowhere. And we've been talking about this, the pathway, the patience, all the things that God is doing through the detours in your life. And we took the life of Joseph to talk about these detours. Well, today I'm going to talk about promotion in detours. Because God is taking you somewhere, don't let the devil lie to you. And because here's Joseph, remember, 17 years old, he has this dream and God's given him this dream. He doesn't understand the magnitude of it at the moment he's receiving it, but he sees the bundles of grain bowing before him, sun, moon, and stars bowing before him, and God is showing him that he's going to ultimately take him to be the prime minister of Egypt as a Jewish boy. But God's putting him there to spare Israel during a famine so that the lineage of the Jews can be preserved. But from the time he receives that at 17, it takes 13 years of detours. And I'm not just talking detours. I'm talking rejection. I'm talking about being lied to, heartache, and just waiting for 13 years. And then in prison, falsely accused and put in prison for 10 years in the prison. And that prison time was a big time. And you remember the story, the cupbearer and the baker come to him. They have dreams of the Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. And they come tell him his dreams, and he interprets the dreams, and they come true for both of them. He tells the cupbearer, remember me when you get in the presence of Pharaoh. Just remember that. Well, the guy forgets. Well, in chapter 41, we have where there's a story that's starting to occur. There's something that's happening that Pharaoh has a dream, and it's disturbing him. And he doesn't know what to do with it. And then the cupbearer remembers, hey, I remember a guy that interpreted my dream who was in prison. He was in charge of the prison. He was a prisoner with me. And now we're seeing that Joseph's getting ready to be promoted in the detour to the place that God had spoken to him about when he was a 17-year-old teenager. But here's what I want you to see. That wasn't the only time he was promoted, everybody. We think it was just only when he went to the palace and now in second in command of Pharaoh because he can interpret Pharaoh's dream. You got to understand something. He is experiencing promotion throughout the detours, even in the pain. So here's what I'm telling you. While he's suffering, he is still succeeding. And some of you are suffering and you're going through something. You're saying, I just feel like I'm at a dead-end job, dead-end relationship, dead-end marriage. I don't feel any healing happening for my body. My kids haven't changed and I prayed. The culture of America is still the same. I hate everything. Let me tell you, in the suffering, you can be succeeding. In the pain, you can be promoted. So today I'm going to talk to you about promotion in the detour. And so I want you to go to one verse of scripture. It's Genesis 39:2. And I want you to remember it because it was when he was sold as a slave to Potiphar, and remember his wife accused him of trying to rape her. You know the story. But look what it says once he is sold as a slave. His brothers sell him out. He's in Egypt. But look what it says while he's in the detour. It says the Lord was with Joseph. So he succeeded. You got to say that word to me. Come on. Succeeded. He succeeded in everything he did as he served the home of his Egyptian master. He was being promoted and promoted and promoted. So I'm telling you, while you're suffering, you're going to get a little taste. God's going to give you little morsels and little tastes of where he's going to take you by giving you some successes. He's going to promote you in the detour. So what does the word promotion mean? The word promotion means to advance. It means to move forward in rank or position. So you're not at a dead-end job. You're not in a dead-end marriage. Your body's not at a dead-end place. I'm telling you, God says, I'm going to start advancing you and moving you. Even in the suffering, I'm going to let you be successful. In fact, I'm going to tell you, success is basically this. Success is knowing the will of God and doing it no matter where you are, even in a pit, even in the times when people are rejecting you. And I'm going to tell you why I believe this. I just believe, okay, I just got this belief, that God is into success. I believe that. I believe God is, I don't think he's into failure. I think he's into success. And he's not only into success, but I believe God is into you being a success. Not your boss, not your other sibling, because they seem smarter and smarter. Mom and dad always said they were an A student, you're a C student. No, I'm telling you, God is into your success. I want you to look what he said to Israel. This is a great verse of scripture. When they came up out of the bondage of Egypt, you remember that? Out of the slavery of Egypt. And listen, God gives instructions as they enter the promised land. And he's telling Moses this. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 29:9. God says, therefore, obey the terms of the covenant, which was the word of God to them at that time. Obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do. And it said that Joseph prospered in everything he did, in the suffering he's succeeding. Look, I'm telling you, you need to buy into this. You need to believe the word of God. Look at 3 John verse 2. Look what it says. This is what God's word is to you today. He says, beloved, you're his beloved. Come on, you're his beloved. He said, I pray that you may what? Prosper in what? All things. And be in health, just as your soul prospers. He's maturing your soul, and he wants you to be a success in everything you do. So, coming close, I have a question for you. How many of you, would it be okay if God promoted you? No, would you be okay with God promoting you? Would you be okay if God gave you success in your career? Would you be okay with that? Or you don't want any of that? I'd take yours. How many would be okay if you started succeeding in your health? You'd be okay with that? I'm asking you a question. God is into success. He's into your success in everything. I'm telling you, this is a word. Somebody needs to go call somebody, because they've been down in the dumps, they've been in depression in this whole thing. I'm telling you, God is into our success as children of God. Let me ask you this. Would you like your family to be a success? How about your kids? Look at them for a moment. What do you see in the eyes of your three-year-old that just driving you up a wall? And mom, you're going, yeah, I know it's Mother's Day, but I'm telling you, I appreciate the teachers more than ever, because I'm telling you, this thing's just driving me up a wall. No. Look at that three-year-old. You want them to be a success? How about your husband over there? You want them to be a success? How about your wife? What if God said, I want to promote you in this detour? If you're into this, then I need you to listen to this, because through Joseph's life, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you four keys on God promoting you in the detour, promotion. And here's the deal about the keys that I'm going to give you, that you can't skip a key, because you're going to find that one key is a link to another key, which is a link to another key, which is a link to another key. So I want you to see this. Come on, don't you want God to be a success in your life, your family's life? I want it. Man, we sang that song, The Blessing. Oh, may his blessing be upon you and your family to 1,000 generations, your children. God is into this, everybody. Come on, success to happen for you. These songs weren't chosen by random. These were God's word to you. I want you to succeed. I want to promote you in the detour where you feel like nothing's happening, something's happening. So if you want success, I'm going to give you some keys to your promotion. Here's the first thing. The key to promotion is habitation. Habitation. Now, when I say habitation, what I'm trying to say to you is that habitation is a matter of the presence of God in your life. If you want to be a success, you must have the presence of God. No, I'm not talking about results. See, some of you got results, but you don't have success. I know folks that can show you all their summer properties, But they feel they have failed in knowing who God is and their true destiny in life, and their whole identity is in their talent, their gift, their money, or their position. They don't know success. Because success has results in it, but there are times you can have results and not be a lick of success in any of it. So what Joseph discovered was not just going up the ladder and being successful at my gift or my skill sets. What he discovered is success is directly connected to habitation with God. Don't forget the game changer. What's the game changer? Everybody remember this? If you've been sticking with me, you know the game changer in this series. Remember when Potiphar, you remember what Potiphar, when he started succeeding in everything he did? Verse 2, our text, look at this. And the Lord was what? With Joseph. So he succeeded in everything he did. The Lord was with Joseph when he served in the home of his Egyptian, and he succeeded. Why? Because the Lord was in habitation, connected. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? The problem is when you get falsely accused or you see injustice in your life, then you say, where is God? And so I'm going to disconnect the link of my habitation with him, because what's this church thing anyway? I don't want anything to do with God. Forget that Bible. Forget giving to God. Forget being kind to people. This is just a bunch of lies, and you disconnect. And you stop succeeding. That didn't happen to him in the prison. Look what happened to him again. Genesis 39, 23. Look at this. Look at this next scripture. In that same chapter, verse 23. In the prison where he was with chains on him. Look what it says. The warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. Why? The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Why? Because he's in habitation with the presence of God. The most important thing to Joseph was, I have to have the presence of God. Let me tell you why you are not a success outside of the presence of God. Let me tell you why. Because the Lord never fails. God never fails. Now, I have failed. But he has never failed. And you know what I love about the Lord that when I fail? You know what I love about the Lord? This is what I love about the Lord when I fail. What I love about the Lord when I fail is the Lord doesn't leave Sam. He just says, Sam, you failed. You got to repeat kindergarten. Take the test over. And he keeps letting me take the test and keep taking the test, till finally I say, I'm ready to put on my big boy pants and go to first grade. But he has never failed me. And if he never fails, now I can fail, you can fail, but if he never fails, then the smart thing for me to do is what Joseph did, and the Lord was with him, and he stayed connected, and he succeeded in everything, even in the pain, he is succeeding. Do you want promotion today? If we stay in his presence, here's what I'm telling you. If I stay in his presence, I'll never fail. I'll never fail. So you know what? God says, if you want promotion, you got to have what? Habitation. The problem is so many of our American Christian culture, and I'm just as guilty at times, is we settle for visitation over habitation. Sometimes we use God like Santa Claus and a fire escape. We use him like a spare tire. And finally, when we need him, we pull him out. And that's visitation. We just depend on Sunday mornings. Well, now we don't have being all together now. You better have God before you have people. We settle for visitation. I want to know. Listen, I love people's compliments, but I want to know what I am when I can encourage myself without you being around. Because I've been with the Lord in his presence. I love compliments, but sometimes I got to have myself with the Lord where I'm hearing him and what he's saying about me because I'm in habitation, I can survive when maybe somebody doesn't like me because I've been in his habitation. I've watched this, folks. We're in this time. People say it's unprecedented, and I know that we've had to be in our homes and everything, but there's been a lot of tough times in this world that people suffered. And I remember 9/11, and some of you do too, when we were terrorized, invading our nation, and I watched churches full for 2 Sundays. But the third Sunday, people started peeling off, got comfortable. Because we like habitation over visitation. But God said everything succeeded for him because he said, God, I'm not into visitation. I got to have you with me all the time. I just got to tell you, when I'm at a hospital and I'm visiting somebody or with one of my friends, one of the things you don't like to hear when you're having good fellowship is over the public address system, visiting hours are over because you got to separate. Well, let me tell you, for you and me as believers, visiting hours are over. We don't want visitation. We want a habitation, don't we? We want to stay in his presence, because here's what happens. If I lose his presence, listen closely, coming close, everybody, coming close for a moment, because when I lose his presence, I lose myself. I lose myself. I lose my identity. Because you were not designed to be without him. I don't care if you're laughing at me right now and you are cursing me. You might be a witch sitting there trying to put curses on me right now. But I'm going to tell you something. You are not even designed to be without God. There's a longing in your soul. There's a hungering in your spirit. That's why you're going to all these things. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm blessed no matter what you do, because I'm connected to him. I'm in him and he is in me. Come on, he's the vine, I'm the branch, and fruit's coming out of me, not because of me, but because of the vine that's in me. Come on, the key to your promotion is habitation. The Lord is with him and he succeeded in everything. All right, so now I know what your question is. I know what your question is. So then, if the key to promotion is habitation, well, Pastor, How do I get, what's the key to habitation? Ready for this? I knew you'd ask, so I've got your answer. The key to habitation is submission. When I use that word submission, I want you to hear this very closely. The key to God's presence is obeying him, submitting to him. Now, when you use the word submission, think of a submarine, submarine. Submarines go underwater. That's what submission means. It means to come under something. So I put Sam Reifkugel down and I come under the authority of God in his word, which means the key to his presence, the key to habitation is Sam Reifkugel has to grow up and obey and have submission to get habitation. See, here's what Joseph did. You can find this in his life. Joseph is submitted to God. He's not even submitted to man. He's not submitted to man. Watch this. He had to work for Pharaoh. He had to work for Potiphar. He understood that. But he knew those men were not in charge of his life. And look what he said to Potiphar's wife. You remember when she tried to seduce him and she accused him of rape? Look what happens. You can see how he is submitted to obey God. Watch this. Verse 9, Genesis 39:9. Look what he says. How could I do such a wicked thing to go commit adultery with you, go sleep with you? He says, how could I go sit there and have and be immoral with you? It would be a great sin, not against your husband. It's a great sin against God. He's saying, I'm not even submitted to your father, your husband. I'm submitted to something higher than him, and it's God who I cannot grieve. I believe part of his ability to be promoted was his constant submission to God, even when he didn't understand, and even when it had been so easy just to go ahead and do it. I want you to look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. You know, God wants to bring the children of Israel into the promised land after they've been in slavery of Egypt for 400 years, and they hadn't had a dime, and now he's going to bring them into blessing. You remember this? Okay, let me show you part of what this submission of obedience is. Deuteronomy 11, 26, look what God says to them. God's given them the commands, and he says, look, today, God's saying this to the people, and I believe we could say the same thing to us. Look, today I'm giving you a choice between a blessing, and a curse. You will be blessed if you what, everybody? If you say it at home, we're going to say it here. If you what? Obey. Obey what? The commands of the Lord, your God, that I'm giving you today. You want blessing on your family? We sing the song. He says, then come under. If you want habitation, submit. Submit to me. So here's what you want you to do. Just put it in your notes right there. Get your app out. Put them in the notes. So here's what it is. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing. In other words, it brings success. It brings promotion. Now, I know I'm saved by faith. I know I am, that God's given me his grace, and I get that. But there's a part that I've got to play in my success and his promotion in my life, and it's obedience brings blessing. So conversely, disobedience blocks blessings. My disobedience blocks my blessings. Obedience starts the blessings. Disobedience stalls and can stop the blessing coming to my life. I want you to look at somebody real quick. Just another example of this. Look at the examples in the Word of God that you and I can learn from. Look at King David versus King Saul. King Saul who would do his own thing and wouldn't stay connected to what God would tell him. Look at 1 Samuel 18:12, and you can see the turn happening where God is now favoring David over Saul. And he says, King Saul was then afraid of David. Why? For the Lord was with David and turned, watch this, and turned away from Saul. Disobedience blocks the blessings, but David chose to obey, and God was bringing blessings. Go down to verse 14 in that same chapter, 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, and look at this. David continued to what? Succeed in the same thing, just like Joseph. Succeed in what? In everything he did, for the Lord was with him. Habitation is connected to submission. Saul shuns God's word. David submits. Submission brings habitation. Man, that's the most important thing. When you get in submission to what God, when you align yourself up with God and get under that, I'm telling you, the blessings start happening to you and the doors start opening. It's like an embassy. It's like an embassy. I went to Thailand about a year or so ago to train and to teach and minister to missionaries that had come from China. And I noticed something. When I'm American and I go into Thailand, I don't all of a sudden become a Thai. Okay? I remain an American. Now, I look the part, but I'm not that, okay? I look the part real good, but I'm an American citizen. And so when I go into a different country, I'm still an American citizen. And if I get in trouble in that country, there's a place for me to go. It's called an embassy. And an embassy, the United States Embassy, is literally a piece, it's counted as a piece of American soil that I, as an American, can go when I'm in trouble in a country, and I can run in there and I can find safety and my rights as an American citizen if I align myself under that embassy and I stay submitted to it. I have American protection is what I have when I'm in there. You know what some people do? They disobey and they get out from under that protection. They get out from under that promotion because they want to be the king of their own kingdom. Let me tell you something, friends. You are a citizen of heaven, so you have to align and submit yourself under the king of that kingdom called heaven. And I'm gonna tell you something, friends. You need to remember that. People are saying, well, I want God to bless what I'm doing. No, you need to find out what's God's blessing, and you start doing it. You start getting under that citizenship of heaven. Boy, so many people need to hear that. Well, in fact, I'm just going to tell you something, just something just stirred in my spirit about that. Folks, as we get into, as I look at our culture, there are a lot of things that grieve my spirit, but I'm watching our culture and I'm watching behaviors of believers, and all of us need to pay attention to this. You need to understand, I'm very patriotic. I thank God for America and the things that God has done for this country. But before I am a citizen of the United States of America, I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus Christ is my Lord, my master, and he is my true commander-in-chief of my life. And we forget that, especially as we're getting ready to head into a heated political season. Believers, for all of us, let's pay attention. Before you're a Republican, you are a child and a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Behave like the King, Jesus Christ himself. Before you're a Democrat, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Behave and act like our King, Jesus. Before you're a liberal or a conservative, you line yourself. You're going to say you're a Christian, line yourself under Jesus Christ and do what Jesus would do. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in this world that can frustrate me and anger me, but I got to remember, I am not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I bring the kingdom of heaven into this place, and I pray for those things. I'm telling you, I see the injustice that happened. I'm sitting here watching this week, and I'm watching an African-American man all of a sudden just killed unnecessarily. And you're sitting there going, where's the justice? You know what I do? I'm going to start praying the kingdom of heaven, the God of heaven, starts bringing, exposing lies, bring up the truth, and bring justice down. That's what I'm going to start praying for. When I see senseless killing of children in abortion clinics, and I see the ladies in the aftermath with all the guilt and the shame, I'm going to say, God, bring down your forgiveness and power on them, Lord Jesus. And I pray, turn this country around, because I've got another kingdom that's higher than this earth, my friends, and it's the kingdom of heaven. So let's behave in alignment with submitting to the kingdom of heaven. Boy, I tell you, you got me worked up over there. Y'all settle down out there at home. But that's the truth. And when you start worrying and you're so stressed out and fretting, please, I'm not trying to keep things trivial, but when people are plagued with so much fear during this time, it means that my citizenship is more connected to this earth than it is to my eternity in heaven. So I'm going to tell you something. You want blessing in your life? You want peace in your life? You want promotion in your life? Start submitting and getting under into the presence of God and obeying him and say, Lord, I don't ever want your presence to leave me. You just tell me what you want, King of heaven, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to obey that, and I'm going to release it into this earth. Because here's the deal for me. My main mission is submission. My main mission is submission, and it's submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his word and what he declares for me to do. Come on. So if you want success, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it, and they are safe. Come on. Submission to the things of God. That's key to habitation. Oh, aren't you glad you showed up today? Amen. Okay, here's the next thing. Well, you're going, all right. Well, then what's the key to submission? All right. The key to submission is expectation. Expectation. Now, when I say the word expectation, you've got to understand that expectation is a matter of faith and belief. That I know that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he said he would do. Expectation really is a matter of faith and clinging and holding to what God said. Now listen to this about Joseph. Joseph, listen, as you look at this story, Joseph must have continually reflected on that dream he had at 17 in all those times. And it had to give him hope when Potiphar's wife, when he was sold as a slave to Potiphar, had to give him hope when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, had to give him hope when he's wearing chains around his neck and his ankles and he's in that prison, had to give him hope. And that expectation, and that expectation came from faith and believing that I've heard from God and I'm going to cling to this. This is what I'm telling you. Some of you've lost your expectation, your hope. If you want habitation, you have to have submission, and submission comes out of expectation that what God said to me, he's going to do. Starts building your faith. I love the story of Paul in Lystra, in Acts chapter 14. You can just look at there in your Bible, Acts 14. Paul's in Lystra, and look what happens in verse 8, Acts 14, verse 8. It says, in Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked, never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. So he's listening, he's hearing. Paul looked directly at him, watch this, and saw that he had faith to be healed. Expectation was rising. Watch this. And called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and he began walking. Some of you may just have lost your expectation because you feel crippled since the marriage started. You feel crippled since you've gotten that job. You feel crippled from birth because of abuse that happened. This has gone on a long time for this man, and maybe you're feeling the same thing. But you know what changes this mentality of defeat and despair in the detour? The man kept listening, and he kept listening, and he kept listening. And here's what's happening to some of y'all. You were in despair when you started this, when you heard the praise and worship, and you were depressed. Something started changing in the atmosphere. All of a sudden, I mean, it's just feeling so much brighter in there. Oh, it's not the air conditioning in your house. It's not that the sun is shining. Something's happening right now because now your expectation is getting up because you're listening. He listened to Paul. Expectation started to fill his heart. That faith began to grow. And Paul says, stand up, stand up, stand up. So here's what you end up doing. Sometimes you think it's my condition that is my problem and you stay crippled. Notice something. it said the man's feet were crippled. His feet were crippled, but his faith was not. Something got a hold of his faith that overrode the circumstances. When you're saying, it's this man I married, it's this woman I married, if I could just move to a different country right now. No, that is not the problem. It's not that his faith, it was a matter his feet were crippled, but his faith was not. I'm telling you, your faith isn't crippled. Something's rising up in you. Believe for your family, believe for your promotion, believe for your healing, believe for your nation, believe that God's going to make things, make a difference, and say, God, I have expectation because I'm hearing your voice. Wow. Some of you are just, you're just jumping up. You're shouting me down. I can hear you right now. I can hear you. All right. Man, here we go. So the key to promotion is habitation, his presence. The key to habitation is submission, which is obeying. The key to submission is expectation, that I have a belief that what God said to me. So how do I fuel my expectation? What is the key to expectation? The key to expectation is revelation. And revelation is a matter of hearing the word of God. You've heard something. You're digging into something. Now, listen to this for a second. Let's talk about Joseph just for a moment. Joseph didn't have a Bible, everybody. He didn't have a Bible. But he was listening to God. He didn't have a Bible like you have a Bible, but he was listening to God. And he's having dreams from God, which God has given him a word about his life. And now he is so connected in habitation with God. Watch this. He's in habitation with God. He's in submission to God, obeying God. Watch this. He has expectation because he remembers what God said. He heard from God. And now he's so close to God that now he's interpreting people's dreams and talking about their success and their future. You remember that? Let me show you something. Let's go to this. Watch this revelation that he begins to have. He has a sensitivity to hear the voice of God. He didn't have a Bible, but watch this. Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, he said, the cupbearer and the baker say to him, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Now look what he says. Look clearly to what he says. Interpreting dreams is God's business. Joseph replied, go ahead, tell me your dreams. He's saying, the voice I'm going to listen to is not my interpretation. I'm going to listen directly to God's word. And you remember the story. The cupbearer finally gets up there, and he forgets him for 2 years. And then you remember Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh cannot sleep. And he has that dream. You remember the story? Go read it. He sees 7 fat cows come up out of the Nile River. But then the dream changes, and he sees 7 skinny, gaunt, anemic cows come up out of the river, and it eats the 7 fat cows. So here's Pharaoh, the world, if I can say that. They say, interpret what's going on, interpret what's going on. And the magicians who are leaning on demonic powers, they can't interpret. And he's mad. Pharaoh's mad. He said, I pay you all this money. You got your magic powers. Interpret. I see 7 fat cows coming up, and then I see 7 skinny cows, and the 7 skinny cows eat the 7 fat cows. Come on, interpret this thing. And these magicians are sitting around, we don't know. It means eat more chicken. They didn't know. But Joseph, who is habitation, submission, and expectation, he says, I'm leaning on God. And now I've got a revelation from him. And look what it says again in Genesis 41, verse 16. And look what he says to Pharaoh. It is beyond my power to do this, to interpret your dream, Pharaoh. Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. And set you at ease. In other words, he's saying, if you'll listen to God's word, it will put you at ease. Because the world and all the prognosticators and the magicians out here are trying to tell you, and they really don't know. There's a God in control, and you can listen to him. Now, listen closely. God may not be speaking to you through dreams or someone who's a prophet that gives you a say, thus saith the Lord. Okay? And I'm telling you, there are times that God speaks through dreams and uses prophets. I believe in that. But I'm telling you this. You say, well, I don't have that like a... No, but I'm telling you this. You already have a word given to you. You already do. It may not be specific to something you have right now, but I'm telling you, it is connected to you obeying the revelation, the revealed word of God. You already have, it's called the word of God, the Bible. It is there with principles and voices and words from God for you, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so many people want the promotion of God, and they say, tell me what I'm supposed to do, and tell me who I'm supposed to marry, and tell me something. Here's what I've discovered. Follow the revealed will of God, and He will show you the unrevealed will. Sometimes people want the unrevealed, but God said, I can't even trust you with what I've already written in my word about how to forgive, how to love, how to have discernment, how to sow, how to plant, how to love, how to treat the poor, how to treat people differently, how to treat your enemy. And if you cannot follow my revealed will, we already got a word, then why would I give you something that's unrevealed? So here it is. Revelation is a matter of hearing the word of God. And as you cling to the revealed, written word of God, He will begin to show you the unrevealed. So if you want expectation, you got to be listening to what He says in word, listening to the prompting of the Spirit, feeling those nudges of the Holy Spirit. God begins to reveal things to you, and it'll put your heart at ease. That's why Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Not heard, not just showing up once every Sunday and just getting your little podcast. He said, hear and keep on hearing. Go to the word of God and keep going to the word of God. Write down those things that He's told you in the prayer closet. Journal those things down. Cling to them, hold to them, and say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. And He's going to promote you in the detours. The key to promotion is habitation, His presence. The key to habitation is submission, obeying what He says. The key to submission is expectation, to believe what God has said to me. But the key to my expectation is revelation. I cling to the Word of God. Come on, don't you think it's time for you to start clinging to the Word of God and let Him promote you?